From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A newly built memorial and museum in Montgomery, Alabama, addresses the stain on American history that was slavery and racial terrorism. The National Memorial for Peace and Justice was spearheaded by the Equal Justice Initiative, and it's a memorial to the victims of lynchings in America. Together with the Legacy Museum from enslavement to mass incarceration, it might be the nation's most important symbolic expression of the horrors of slavery and Jim Crow racism in America. A couple of years ago, a powerful book addressed the history of lynchings in America called Beyond the Rope, The Impact of Lynching on Black Culture and Memory, and its author, Carlos K. Hill, had joined us as a guest to discuss his book. Today, we welcome back Professor Hill to our program to reflect on the new lynching memorial and the museum which he has just visited. Carlos K. Hill is a professor and department chair at the Department of African and African American Studies at the University of Oklahoma, specializing in the history of lynching and the anti-lynching movement in the U.S. Welcome back to the program, Professor Hill.
Thank you for having me back.
So you went and visited this museum, this memorial. It's been getting a lot of press. Oprah Winfrey went to visit. Ava DuVernay had visited it. And of course, Bryan Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative had spearheaded this. What was your initial impression walking through this? People have described a sense of being overwhelmed and moved to tears. So can you just give us your general impressions?
Yeah. As someone who's studied the history of lynching for more than 15 years, I was not prepared for how emotionally overwhelming that space would be. It's equally beautiful as well as terrifying. And when I say beautiful, it's just, sort of built up on this hill, and just the layout of it. It's just, just impressive. But then when you begin to actually move through the memorial and you begin to see the names of lynching victims, you begin to understand the horror that Black Americans experienced for more than 70 years. And I can say for sure, I was unprepared to sort of walk through that memorial. Even having studied lynching as many years as I have, I was emotionally unprepared to walk through that museum. And like many other people who've walked through the museum, the memorial, I began to tear up, even cry, because what I realized is in my 15 years studying lynching, I had never really mourned those victims. And it just struck me as I was walking through seeing the names of lynch victims that I had studied with the images of their lynching sort of cascading through my head. I realized that I had, in all these years, I had never mourned them. And I had actually come to this site, right, not really thinking about it, to mourn them. And so that's kind of what happened without me really planning to do that. And so this memorial is so powerful, and it should be, everyone should be required to visit it at least once, because I think there's no way that you can walk away from that memorial and not have a different sense of American history. So there are 800 steel columns to represent the 800 counties, right, across the South in which lynchings occurred. And then there are roughly 4,400 lynch victims' names etched on those steel columns that are suspended from the ceiling. And so it's when you are walking through the exhibit, initially when you walk in, you're at eye level with the steel columns. But as you move through it, you actually, the steel columns begin to, are actually above you, and then ultimately they're well above your head. And so there's a sense in which you're actually looking at lynch victims, in the aftermath of a lynching, right? There's this really eerie sense throughout the memorial that this space is sort of mimicking what it would have been like to been at to have been at a lynching. And so in so many ways, it's a really powerful memorial. And like I said, I think it should be required for every American to go and visit it, because I don't think that you can visit that memorial and come away unaffected.
Now, I understand that that the lynching memorial also has very powerful statues of people, of enslaved Africans here in the United States, done by a Ghanaian sculptor. So on the one hand, the lynchings were depicted in this, you know, symbolic way as these bars, suspended bars, but then you do have depictions of actual real human beings, which of course is critical as well. Tell me about the sculptures.
So the sculptures are at the beginning and the end of the memorial. So as you are walking in to the memorial, you see to the right hand of you, basically quotations and or a brief overview of the history of lynching. And as you're looking to the right, getting some basic historical context about the history of lynching, as you're walking, you'll see to the left of you, the really beautiful statue that you just mentioned, that was created by this Ghanaian artist. And, you know, it's a powerful sort of statue, because you can kind of see in the eyes of those who are being depicted, the pain, the suffering, the brutality that they have experienced as a result of their enslavement. And so you are sort of introduced to this memorial through the eyes of enslaved people, through the pain and the suffering of enslaved people. And so the statue, where it's situated, kind of prepares you for what you are about to experience as you walk into the memorial. What makes the memorial such a powerful place is it's outdoors. And so, you know, on the day that I visited, it was this perfect day. There was no wind. It was just calm and serene. And there was just this gentle wind blowing. And it just made the memorial all that more eerie. And so this memorial will change how you feel about it will change based on how the weather is and so forth. That's the beauty of it, I think. It's like sort of a living memorial, but definitely the sculpture is a key part of setting the tone for how you experience the memorial.
And in a way, I understand that the choice of this Ghanaian artist who has depicted the transatlantic slave trade in his previous works was a deliberate choice to link, you know, the motherland to the institution of slavery here in the United States. Kwame Akoto Bamfo is the sculptor's name, a really talented artist who incidentally missed the opening of the museum and the memorial because his visa application was denied in the U.S. To me, that spoke volumes about how ready this country is to face, particularly under this administration, its sordid history.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising at all. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. This is a controversial memorial. There were people in Montgomery and people around the country who would rather not see this memorial exist, because the refrain is, why do we need to keep rehashing this history? Why do we need to keep talking about slavery and lynching and even the civil rights movement? Why can't we just move on? The more you bring up these polarizing histories, the more divided we become. And so Bryan Stevenson's retort to that is, well, we haven't really dealt with this history. The reason why we have this very polarizing history of race is because we refuse to deal with it. This memorial is a way to sort of really force a conversation that hasn't happened. And I don't know if this if it's enough for this memorial to force a national conversation, but it certainly will help enforcing a national conversation around these issues. I mean, what they've been able to accomplish in the last 2 to 3 years in terms of moving this issue into the foreground is amazing. I can tell you from someone who studied this history and have many colleagues who studied this history, we welcome someone like Brian Stephenson because he's done what we haven't been able to do, which is bring, not just national attention, but international attention to this issue and to begin force conversations in places that can actually push this conversation in ways that can lead to positive change. And so I have nothing but the greatest respect and admiration for Bryan Stevenson, Equal Justice Initiative, for their vision, and for them being a witness to this really horrific history.
I understand that at some place in the memorial or near the memorial is a collection of soil from the places where lynchings took place.
So there that the soil samples that were taken from each of the 800 counties, that's actually in the companion museum, the Legacy Museum. That's a companion to the memorial.
Okay, and
And
where is that museum in relation to the memorial?
so the everything is downtown Montgomery, Alabama, but the Legacy Museum is actually in downtown proper, and it's at the site of a slave warehouse that or a warehouse that was used to house slaves before they went to auction. And so the Legacy Museum is in this really historic space in Montgomery. And so pretty much everything related to the Legacy Museum and the memorial, it's just, really symbolic. I mean, the reasoning behind why they chose the sites are really symbolic as well as historic.
Now, there are, of course, museums throughout the country that attempt to look at the past. The museum, I remember going to the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, which examined the civil rights history of America, but also what it was that people were fighting for and what they were fighting against. That was such a moving experience. But what about the location of Montgomery itself? Because when we think of Montgomery, Alabama, we think of Rosa Parks and the bus boycotts. But also, of course, this is the deep South, where we had some of the strongest expressions of racial terror, right?
I mean, Montgomery was the cradle of the Confederacy. Actually, there is a historic site that is referred to as the first White House of the Confederacy. And for momentarily, the Montgomery was the site of or the state capital, if you will, the capital of the Confederacy. And so at one point in time, and I think still even to the present, there are a lot of people, white people in Montgomery, who are really proud about this. And so if you walk around Montgomery, you will see other markers to the Confederacy. You will see statues of Confederate leaders, and you will see virtually no statue who's devoted to civil rights leaders, enslaved people. But now, in Montgomery, there is this memorial to lynching and to racial violence. And so decidedly the landscape, right, of Montgomery is tilted towards memory of the Confederacy. But I think with Bryan Stevens' powerful memorial, that's as powerful as anything that you would see on the National Mall, as powerful as the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin or the apartheid memorial in South Africa. I think this memorial is on par with those things. And so I think decidedly the the Montgomery has made a conscious decision to remember the Confederacy, to the exclusion of slavery, to the exclusion of Jim Crow, to the exclusion of the Civil Rights Movement. But I think what Bryan Stevenson has done is a game changer in that city, and I think in the nation, because there's nothing like this that exists in the country. And so in one fell swoop, I think he kind of changed the game. So it will be interesting to see what comes from it.
Now let's talk about a little bit more about the museum. What's really, of course, important and jumps out right away is that the museum, which is a companion to the Lynching Memorial, is a museum that explores the institution of slavery, but everything else as well. So it's called the Legacy Museum, From Enslavement to Mass Incarceration, which seems to me to be the critical point here, that mass incarceration stems directly from the institution of slavery and everything that went before it, that we have not closed this chapter on American history. How important was this aspect of it? And what? How does the museum address today's version of slavery, which is mass incarceration?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to distinguish, you know, and the enslavement of 4 million African and African-American people with mass incarceration. You know, mass incarceration is something very different than, racial slavery. But nonetheless, what the museum, what the Legacy Museum tries to do is to explain the connective tissue between those two things. And for Bryan Stevenson, that connective tissue are the narratives of racial inferiority that bolster both the enslavement of 4 million African and African-American people, and then the incarceration, right, of more than a million African-Americans today. The narrative of racial inferiority is what, in Bryan Stevenson's mind, we have not really dealt with, right? And that we haven't really had a national conversation about, since the beginning of this country. And so while those two things, the enslavement of Black people and the mass incarceration of Black people, are different things, the connective tissue is those narratives of racial inferiority that in many ways have went unchallenged, right, in American society since the founding of this country. And so I think that what the museum tries to do is to bring attention to that and to say that until we deal with this fundamental narrative that we've told about Black people, right, we cannot overcome mass incarceration or anything that would come after it. We have to deal with that. And until we do that, we're going to be where we are.
And Carlos, you mentioned earlier the Holocaust memorial, what South Africa has done in its attempt to address its racist history. And of course, the U.S. just hasn't done that. Every time we've sort of moved past the crimes and swept things under the rug historically, but haven't fully faced, even in history books today that get taught to our children, fully faced the legacy of racism in this country. What I find really interesting about the museum and the memorial is that it's using art in a very powerful way, because art has the ability to move people in ways that books or print journalism or, you know, numbers and statistics or even news reports don't, right? That you force people to confront things in using art very powerfully. And I thought that was really important. So maybe this can be our version of our Holocaust memorial for the Holocaust that took place here.
I think that was exactly what you said was the intent. This memorial and even the Legacy Museum is designed to make you feel something, right? It's designed to unsettle you, to get you into a new headspace. Like I said, I'm someone who studied this history for more than 15 years and thought I had kind of gotten to a certain place emotionally with this topic, but yet when I go to this memorial, I walk through it for more than an hour and a half. At probably three or four points, I begin to break down and cry, so much so that a couple of bystanders came over to say, "Hey, are you okay?" And I didn't take time to sort of explain to them, you know, who I was and what I do. But, you know, if someone like me has that kind of response, and I thought that I had sort of dealt with this this history, you know, intellectually and emotionally, psychologically, just think about other Americans and how the kind of impact that this museum would have on them, who are mostly either unaware of or just blatantly ignorant about this history. So no matter who you are, this museum and slash memorial is going to make you feel something.
I won't bring up Kanye West, Carlos, but let's also talk about the fact that this location has, you know, forces people to confront two different views on American history. As you said, there's still Confederate markers all over Montgomery, and the sense that that was a prideful moment of a moment in U.S. history deserving of pride. And then you've got this legacy museum and this lynching memorial right there. I can imagine for people walking through Montgomery, Alabama, who find the Confederate, the idea of the Confederacy abhorrent because of what it represented, it must be a very schizophrenic experience. Did you find that you were sort of jarred by the contrast between some Confederate symbols you might have seen and this museum and memorial?
I mean, it is jarring to walk through, as a Black person, I'll say, to walk through Montgomery and see statue after statue, street after street, named in honor of a Confederate leader, or some sort of Confederate, someone connected to the Confederacy. It's really jarring, and it really helps you to understand that in the state of Alabama, as well as in the city of Montgomery, they are decidedly, they are decidedly antagonistic to understanding history, their state's history, through the experience of Black people. There is no sympathy for trying to even understand the history of that state, the nation, through the eyes and the experiences of Black people. And so as you sort of walk through Montgomery as a Black person, you would experience sort of a landscape that is seemingly hostile or just simply indifferent to you and your history. But upon arriving to the Peace and Justice Memorial, there's a completely different tone and tenor that doesn't exist in the rest of the city. And so I think that helps us to understand where we are, not just in the state of Alabama, but in the nation. We have built a culture that is either indifferent or hostile to understanding American history through the eyes or the experience of enslaved people, through the eyes of lynch victims, through the eyes of folk who struggled during the civil rights movement. I think Montgomery is not aberrational. Montgomery just has done more to commemorate the Confederacy than most other places. I think it's actually very suggestive to America's relationship to the history of slavery, lynching, Jim Crow, and the civil rights movement. And so I think if we have that as our framework, then it makes clear why the Peace and Memorial, Justice Memorial is all that necessary. Because we, like Brian Stevenson would suggest, we just haven't come to terms with this history.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your experience with us, Professor Hill. I hope to someday visit the memorial and museum myself. As you said, every American should visit it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again, Sonali.
My guest is Carlos Cahill, professor and department chair at the Department of African and African American Studies at the University of Oklahoma, specializing in the history of lynching and the anti-lynching movement in the U.S. He's also the author of Beyond the Rope, The Impact of Lynching on Black Culture and Memory. And we've been discussing the new lynching memorial and accompanying legacy museum in Montgomery, Alabama. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.